Thought Leadership Studio.
You're listening to Thought Leadership Studio, the podcast that helps you master high-level positive mass influence to create distinctive business niches, captivate an audience, grow your following, and change the game by changing the frame with strategic thought leadership.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Welcome back to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, strategic thought leadership coach, consultant, and fractional CMO. And this is episode 87, Meta Podcasting with Jessica Rhodes. Amplify your influence. Leveraging podcast guesting to build authentic connections and elevate thought leadership. What this episode will do for you is give you a guided tour to the evolution of podcasting, learning how it's transformed from audience building to targeted visibility and narrow audience content creation. Learn how to leverage podcast guesting for thought leadership by understanding how being a podcast guest can grow your network, build authority, and attract your ideal clients. Learn how to build meaningful host-guest relationships by discovering strategies for fostering authentic connections with podcast hosts that create long-term value. Learn how to repurpose podcast content effectively, gaining tips on maximizing the impact of your podcast appearances through strategic content reuse. Learn how to set the right goals for podcast guesting, and learn why focusing on brand awareness and providing value to audiences is more impactful than chasing immediate sales. And learn how to integrate podcasting with your marketing plan, discovering how podcast guesting and hosting complement each other to amplify your influence and reach. But before we dive more deeply into this episode, in case you're new here, consider that I created the Thought Leadership Studio podcast to help listeners improve their thought leadership skills. So whether or not you consider yourself a thought leader at this point, consider that I've come to the conclusion that the practice of strategic thought leadership is now fundamental to effective marketing and helpful in any area of positive influence. It's about leading an audience to embrace a unique perspective that gives them more value. So this podcast is designed to provide an accelerated training process. And an important part of this is having models of excellence, for which I provide interviews of people who excel in one or more areas relevant to strategic thought leadership. And if you're listening on an app, make sure you visit the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com. It's linked in the episode description for a summary of the episode with a curated transcript, a story and images, and additional resources and offers. In this chapter of the ongoing evolution of Thought Leadership Studio, I'm thrilled to welcome Jessica Rhodes, founder of Interview Connections, the world's first podcast booking agency. Since 2013, Jessica has helped clients book over 30,000 podcast interviews, generating millions of sales and fostering thought leadership. So the relevance of podcast guesting to strategic thought leadership is probably already apparent given the context of this podcast. The podcast format is perfect for casting a positive spell over other people's audiences who you lead to distinctive value through your thought leadership positioning. In this episode, we explore the evolution of podcasting from building massive audiences to targeting niche markets, and how podcast guesting serves as a strategic tool for networking, brand awareness, and authentic connection. Jessica shares actionable tips on crafting effective guest strategies, building host relationships, and repurposing content. So without further ado, let's jump right into the interview.
Thought Leadership Studio.
So I'm your host of Thought Leadership Studio, Chris McNeil, and this is a very exciting episode as I am sitting across Zoom with Jessica Rhodes, who is the founder of Interview Connections, the world's first and leading podcast booking agency that she started in 2013. Since its founding, Interview Connections has booked over 30,000 podcast interviews for over 800 clients. And Jessica's passionate about helping online entrepreneurs leverage the power of podcast guesting to grow their network, create thought leadership content, which we're all about here, and attract dream clients. The podcast interviews Jessica and her team have booked have helped their clients generate millions of dollars in sales, sell thousands of books, and transform countless lives. Interview Connections was awarded the 2022 Bronze Stevie Award for Marketing Agency of the Year and Podcast Booking Agency of the Year by Corporate Vision Magazine. And on a personal note, Jessica's married with two kids, and together they enjoy life in Rhode Island, fits your name, doesn't it, with their backyard chickens and three rescue cats. I love it. Great to have you here, Jessica.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat about thought leadership.
And this has been a path you've been on for a while.
Making
connections, helping people piggyback on other people's audiences.
Yeah.
It used to be all about other people's money. Now it's about other people's audiences in some ways, which leads to that, isn't it? Was there a pivotal moment, or was there a flash of awareness, or some event that set you on this path that you could share with our listeners to give them some context about where you're coming from?
Yeah, the one pivotal moment for me was becoming a mom. Like, I became an entrepreneur out of a desire to be home at that time with my newborn, who's now 11, going on 12 years old. So I was working at a nonprofit before I started my business, leading a door-to-door field canvas, which is where I learned a lot of my sales skills, going door-to-door. And when I was pregnant, there was this very clear just hit, like, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, not just stay-at-home, because I needed to still make an income. And so I talked to my parents. My dad is an entrepreneur. And so when I talked to him, he says, this is great. You should be a virtual assistant. VAs, they are business owners. They have clients. This would be perfect for you. I'll even be your first client. And so my dad became my first client. And one of the things that he asked me to do for him was to book him on podcasts and to help get guests on his show. And that's really what opened me up to this world of online entrepreneurship, personal branding, thought leadership. And yeah, I'll pause there, but kind of like the rest is history, so they say.
Sure, sure. Well, that's awesome. So what is the difference that makes a difference for you that made this a path with heart, so to speak? Because there's lots of things that you could do to work from home.
Yeah.
But you chose this path of making these connections through podcast audiences. What's special about that?
So my dad and I had a heart-to-heart talk. It was, I think, in May of 2013, because I was booking him on podcasts, but I was also doing sales for his newsletter marketing company. I was helping him with social media. Like, I was doing other VA tasks. And we had a heart-to-heart kind of a coaching conversation where he asked me, you know, of all the things that you're doing, what do you enjoy the most? What do your clients enjoy the most? Like, where are they getting the most value? What's in highest demand of all the things that you're doing? And all of those questions pointed to booking podcast interviews. And he says, if it's the same thing, that's great. If you have different answers, that's fine. We'll figure it out. But I just loved it because I've been learning so much and I was learning so much about marketing and have continued to learn about marketing and business growth over the course of the last 11 years. But the thing that I really loved about podcasting and podcast interviews is there's things to do to make it effective, but at the heart of it, like, the people that are building their business through podcast guesting and podcast hosting are people that just have a genuine connection. Like there's authenticity. There's no hiding behind certain tactics and tricks and headlines. It's like, if somebody hears a full interview with you and they like you, they're going to want to work with you. And if they don't, they won't. There's no trick about it. There's nothing you can't, it's just authenticity. And it's, I find it so refreshing. I love that for entrepreneurs who aren't marketers. Like they have a great business. They are experts at what they do, but they're like, I'm not good at marketing. They can get on a podcast and share authentically and do really well. And I love that.
Which ironically is the best marketing.
Right.
And people have this mental model of what marketing is sometimes based on the old car salesman step on the toes, you know, kind of thing. And it's really, it's a continuum of the service that we give to our audience. And some of them become customers. Some of them pay with attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a valuable commodity these days.
Yeah. I find that people get kind of tripped up when they think, oh, I'm not good at marketing. They're like, I don't know how to entertain on a video, or I don't know how to write really good copy, or, you know, I don't know how, like they get tripped up with all this, the tactics of the various platforms. But at the end of the day, when we strip all the platforms away, it's just, you're a human, you have like, just have a conversation, you know?
Sure. Well, trying to do my best to act as the listener advocate and think, how can we get the most out of this conversation with Jessica here? How do you see the landscape of podcasting these days? Because I know there's, of course, the Joe Rogans of the world who have millions and millions and are more dominant in shaping public opinion than mainstream media in some ways these days. But then you have the how many thousands and millions of podcasters with micro niches that are very, very specific about a certain hobby that may have a small following, but it's their passion, and the 15 people that listen are really engaged with, you know?
Yeah.
How do you see the landscape, and how do you use that information to help match guests with podcasts?
Yeah. So to answer your question, I want to first kind of bring context to what the podcasting landscape looked like 10 years ago when I was first starting out, because I've seen it kind of evolve and change. Now, in 2013, 2014, when I was just starting my business, there were a couple hundred thousand podcasts total online. Now there's over 3 million. So the number of podcasts has grown so much. And so when people, but you know, business owners specifically, were getting into podcasting back then, there was this goal for many of them to grow a really big audience, because there weren't that many shows. Like there were the same number, well, more people are listening now, but like the same number of humans on the planet, but not as many shows. So I did see podcasters really gunning for like huge audiences, and how can I, you know, get that fame. And now what I see is people are grounded in what this platform is good for. And it's for targeted visibility, and it's for very niche content. And when you get who your target audience is and you understand the niche value that you have to bring to them, you don't need to be famous, but you can be very effective and successful with the platform as a strategy. I've also seen, because I've done well over 30 podcast interviews just this year alone, and one thing I've noticed is that every host that I've connected with who's interviewed me, they really value their connection with the guest of the show. They really value the conversation. I've done JV partnerships with different hosts. I've had hosts come into my community. Like there's just been so much amazing networking and relationship building that comes just from that host guest relationship. And then everyone that listens in on the conversation, that's like icing on the cake. But primarily what I see podcasting is as now for business owners is it's a networking strategy.
Yes, absolutely. And it's certainly been that for my own experience with Thought Leadership Studio. And as I mentioned before we started recording, I started this podcast because I developed this innovative methodology of organizing influence and giving a real structure to how to bring an audience to see your point of view, and designing that point of view to be really empowering to cut through the noise online. It's been really effective, but didn't lend itself to an elevator pitch.
Right.
So for me, it's been a platform to also explore different angles of how to bring that fully to life for the listener who may want to get better at online influence with guests like yourself who are very, very skilled in, you know, in your case, a very parallel set of skills in bringing about this networking? Have you always been a natural networker? Is that, or did you have to work on that?
I've always been pretty extroverted. I did theater my whole childhood. That was kind of the activity that I did throughout middle school and high school. And then, like I was telling you right before, or I don't know if it was on the interview or right before this, but I did canvassing, you know, before I started my business. And so I've always been a talker ever since I was young. I have a twin sister and we've got two older brothers. So being in a family of six, there was competition for the spotlight, and I, that's been inside me forever.
Well, that's awesome. So knowing your audience is a piece of the puzzle. What would be a good big picture, 1,000-foot view strategy for, now I'm thinking of the typical listener of this podcast from what I know, and I probably continue to be surprised by who listens to this and for what reasons, but maybe somebody who's a solopreneur consultant or coach who's just written a book or is working on a book and thinking, how can I get my ideas in front of a larger audience? And podcasting, the authenticity of it, you know, it's not, we know it's not AI generated. You can hear the people talking, you know, and
yes,
it cuts right through that noise in that sense. What would be a big picture strategy if you had 5 minutes to coach them along future pacing, how to use the podcast platform to promote themselves effectively?
Yeah, well, I mean, just to kind of start my answer, I want to piggyback off what you said about it doesn't lend itself well to an elevator pitch. So that's first and foremost for anyone listening who resonates with that, of what I do, how I coach people, the impact that I have, transformation that I help my clients have. I can't sum that up into 30 seconds. Then podcasting is a platform and a strategy that's going to help you reach more people and diversify your marketing, because there are people that like to read, there are people that like to watch videos, and there are people that prefer to put on something audio only and be doing other things while they're taking in the content. And so to leverage this platform effectively as a guest, which is primarily what I talk about, it's first knowing what your goals are and knowing what do you want to get out of this. The most effective goal, in my opinion, is overall brand awareness. When you go into this strategy as a way to just get your brand out there to new audiences on a consistent basis without necessarily this like expectation that it's going to lead to sales, because it doesn't always lead to sales right away. You're introducing your brand to new audiences every time they hear you, and people aren't always ready to make an investment in what you have the first time that they meet you. So having a goal of overall brand awareness and bringing value to new audiences, so that way you create some stick factor with the people who hear you, who are your target audience, that's an excellent goal. And then really getting clear on who that target market is. Like, who do you want to be hearing you on podcasts? Who's your ideal client? What types of shows are they listening to? Like, just to pull back the curtain, because whenever I'm on podcasts, it's very meta because we are talking about the thing that we are actively doing.
Yes,
and
I saw that.
So, you know, my team looked at your show and was like, this is perfect, because looking at the episodes you do, like one of your most recent episodes is about how to, you know, use LinkedIn effectively, how to really like improve your LinkedIn profile. That is something that my clients also are really interested in learning about. So I look at your show and I'm like, well, I know we have the same target market because my clients would love these topics that you're doing episodes on. So that's one way that you can look at podcasts and decide, would I be a good fit for this show? Would this show be a good fit for me? And when there is that win-win partnership in their audience and your topic, that's a great podcast to be a guest on. And this is a strategy that is long-term. It's a slow burn. It's not an overnight, like you don't do a podcast, put it out there and have tons of leads reaching out. Like sometimes that can happen, but for the most part, you know, like you're putting out episodes every single week. Like it takes time to grow an audience. It takes time to get people to get to know, like allow people to get to know you, to come to understand, like, do they want to work with you? What's their timeline? Like all of this stuff, it takes time. So a lot of entrepreneurs, they try podcasting or podcast guesting and then they quit because they're like, oh, it didn't work for me. But they gave up after 3 months or 6 months. But when you add this into your marketing plan and just stick with it year over year, you build a very strong reputation of being an authority and a leader in your industry.
Do you see it as symbiotic with promoting a book and writing a book?
Absolutely. I mean, having a book is, you have this asset that makes you an authority, that communicates your authority, but then you have to promote it. So I think that having a book and having your own podcast, it's owning media. It's owned media. You own the podcast, you own the book, but then you need to promote it. You need to get out there. And that's where I think podcast guesting comes in, is you guest on other people's podcasts to get people to come listen to your show or to get people to read your book.
So what makes a great mutually beneficial partnership between the podcast host and the podcast guest?
Yeah, I mean, first, it's about like the guest needs to have valuable content that the host audience wants to learn about. So what is the, you know, problem or the interest or the pain point, the need that that host audience has? Like this show, thought leadership. Your listeners are wanting to grow their thought leadership and learn about different ways to promote their thought leadership. So for me, coming on and talking about how do you use podcast guesting to take your thought leadership to next level, that's a win-win. Like your audience is going to get value from this conversation. And if they get value from this, they're going to want to say, I wonder who Chris is going to bring on next week. I want to listen again. And so that's the value to the host, is that the guest helps bring great content that makes the listeners want to see who you bring on next week. And then it's a win-win for the guest, because if your listeners liked me and what I had to say, they'll probably come check me out and follow me on LinkedIn or go to my website.
Yeah. It's, you kind of have to have your media mix all set up, don't you? When you jump into these, so people have places that are sticky.
Exactly. Yeah.
Jump from, because it's hard to jump from a first contact to a sale in most cases.
For sure. And for most coaches and service providers, like, we're not offering something that's a impulse $20 purchase. You know, we're offering an investment, you know, a service, something that takes commitment. So you don't want to make that offer right on a podcast. You want to say, okay, here's a free offer. Here's a, you know, whether it's a lead magnet or a free discovery call or follow me on LinkedIn, like give the listeners a place where they can get in touch with you or follow you for more, not necessarily going right to the point of sale.
Now, I know you're an exquisite connection maker. Do you also do coaching with your clients to help them give great interviews?
Yeah. So we added a coach, like a group coaching model into our program a couple, well, we added it as a group model this year. We had one-on-one coaching calls previously, but to make it more scalable, as I know you've talked about, we have group calls. Because from doing podcast booking for 11 years, we are good at podcast booking and getting people on podcasts, but we noticed that there was a difference between people who saw an ROI and had success with podcasting guesting and those who didn't. And when we look at that, there are some clear decisions and things that people do that lead them to more results and things that people don't do that, you know, make it so they don't get an ROI. And so we looked at that and we saw that there were a few main pillars of podcast guesting that helps people be more successful. And those pillars are, number one, the host relationship, which we've already talked about, like really focusing on your relationship with the host. Number two, giving an effective call to action, like actually leading the listeners somewhere specific, because most podcast guests go on and they list out, oh, here's my social media, here's my website. And you just kind of like send the cats out and outside and they just run all different places and you don't capture anyone. So we don't want to be hurting cats.
Yes.
Exactly. So you want to give them one clear place to go and then repurposing the content. So what most podcast guests don't realize is that so much of the value of guesting is actually from the content that is produced for you. So you're going to produce this episode, add your intro to it, add the like music. It's going to sound amazing. And then you're going to publish it. And so I could, you know, promote that on my social media. I could email it to my list. I could send it to my prospects. Hey, listen to Chris, interview me. And so leveraging that content, repurposing it, sharing it, is that's where a lot of your ROI can and will come from. So those are the three main pillars that we coach our clients on. So when you know where the ways to get an ROI are, you can focus on them more and leverage them to the best of your ability.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah, I try to do that. And this is for you to offer me some feedback, because some of our listeners might also be able to relate to my position in some ways. And when I interview someone like yourself, I try to find five or six interesting threads of thought, rabbit holes to chase down, each of which would make a good post on social media on its own. And then get it transcribed by Rev. And I don't put the whole transcription, because I want people to listen to it to get the whole thing, but half to two thirds of it I put on like a blog post with a little bio about the guest. So it becomes a nice promotional piece that, you know, they can point to, and send some links their way, link juice their way if they're in the search engine optimization, you know. So I think that helps attract guests sometimes, but it enables us to do like post on X, formerly Twitter, every day about the same episode for the week following that from a different angle each time.
Yes.
And every single one of them. And sometimes it's interesting the things that resonate with the audience. It's like, wow, this one got 2,000 likes and 40 reposts, which is good for our size audience, you know, and that one's really resonating. So that gives me some feedback on what people want to learn more about.
Yes, I love that. And yeah, the more you promote the episode, the more you know, like from, I love how you said the different angles. One of my clients posted, you know, because a lot of podcasts are video. And so there's these short clips, you know, video clips of the podcast interview. And so she posted just a clip, one of her video clips from an interview, and somebody watched that clip. And that was enough. The person watched it and they were like, I want to work with you. Like, you're the coach for me. So the clips and the posts are designed to drive people to the full episode. But there's also people that are going to watch that, and that's all that they need. They're like, yep, full yes. So definitely for everyone listening, don't underestimate the power of the clips, the power of the quotes, and the posts that can come out of the full conversation.
How would you advise the listener to know whether being a podcast host or a podcast guest or both is the right path for them?
I love this question because there's so many entrepreneurs and thought leaders who want to lose podcasting. And I find that they it's like they're at this crossroads. They think it's a crossroads. Should I start a show? Should I be a guest? Should I start a show? But they don't even know that being a guest is like an option. And so it's funny, you were talking about like which posts resonate. So I'll tell you, I run ads for our free masterclass, and the ad that has performed the best this year is I start out with, you may have thought about starting a podcast, but a much easier way to leverage podcasting is by being a guest. And so many people are like, oh my gosh, I have thought about starting a podcast. I didn't realize that guesting was an option. And don't get me wrong, I am a full proponent of both hosting and guesting. I wrote a book back in 2016 called How to Rock the Podcast from Both Sides of the Mic. So there's so much value in both, because as we talked about before, hosting your own show is a form of owned media, and being a guest is earned media. Both are valuable in their own way. For somebody that hasn't leveraged either, I do typically advise be a guest first. See if you like talking into a microphone. See if you like the medium before you start a whole show on your own. So start out as a guest. If you've already started a podcast, go be a guest. You will grow your audience exponentially if you go speak to other people's audiences and then bring them back to your show. So both are great, but if you haven't done either, be a guest first.
Yeah, the whole other people's audiences. Piggyback,
yes.
Phenomenon.
And, absolutely.
To me, it's hard work producing podcasts.
Yes.
You see the appeal of just only jumping on other people's podcasts as a guest, where you show up and speak to your area of expertise, empower the listener a bit, and maybe pick up some business from it, but have some fun. Because it's fun.
To me, yes.
It's enjoyable. And I like every part of it. And I came from being a part-time but professional musician. So I have all the audio equipment and microphones and digital audio interfaces and stuff around and experience producing. So that, but it's still half a day a week minimum.
It's a lot of work. And that's why a lot of people guest instead of hosting their own show. I mean, I produced our podcast for 9 years. For 9 years, we had regular weekly episodes. Now I only guest. But the thing I did love about hosting my own show was that you knew it was your audience. Every time you got on the mic and you spoke, you knew it was your people. When you're a guest, like it's a new audience every time. Like I bring my A game. Not that I wouldn't bring my A game to my own show, but there's a different level of comfort. It's like going to somebody else's party, like going to somebody else's dinner party at their house. you're kind of like, you know, just keeping in mind, like, how's everyone behaving? What's everyone eating? What's the vibe? Versus when they come to your house, you're comfortable. It's your house. Like, you set the rules, you set the vibe, you set the standards and expectations. It's kind of a different feeling. Again, value in both is just different.
Absolutely. And I like tube amplifiers as a musician and as an audiophile, but tube amplifiers have horrible distortion statistics because of the way they measure distortion compared to transistor amplifiers or digital amplifiers. I wonder if the same kind of take can be applied in podcasting as to what numbers are really important. And I've so far taken a stance, and I might be ignorant, and please tell me if I am, that I paid very little attention to downloads and audiences and even reviews to some extent, and just tried to focus on the quality and the audience relationship and not even think about the numbers. But then I get pitched several times a day in various social media accounts from agencies promising me 10,000 more downloads a month. I'm like, well, those are just pings on the server. That doesn't mean somebody's paying attention.
Exactly.
What's your take on that, on the numbers? What numbers matter, or do they?
I'm with you. My advice is always don't pay attention to the numbers. Sure, you can look at it. Like, there's value. Like, you know, I do a lot of email marketing. So I'm going to pay attention to which emails had a high open rate, which emails had a high click-through rate, which is, you know, and take that into consideration of like what subject lines worked, what content worked. And so I think that there is some value and looking to see like which episodes got a lot of downloads, which, you know, what does that say about the topic of the episode? But beyond that, don't obsess over it. Like, I think you're 100% correct to focus primarily on the content and the value. And I like how at the beginning of the episode, you're like, I'm the listener's advocate. I'm getting into the mindset of who my listeners are and asking the questions that I think they want to have answered in this episode. That is what makes a great podcast, not a host that's like, oh, I'm trying to get the most downloads and the most, like, who cares? Nobody can see the downloads but you anyway. So it's just an ego stroke if you feel like if the downloads are high. But at the end of the day, like, we're all business owners. We're doing this to grow our business, to create value for our clients, to generate more leads and sales in our business. And so if your podcast is doing that with 100 downloads, you're winning. If it's doing that with 5,000 downloads, you're winning. Doesn't matter.
Absolutely. And if it's part of your funnel for customers, if you've got a really high dollar customer, you don't need that many listeners.
Exactly. This is where so many people get confused. Entrepreneurs get into podcasting and they look at the podcasting industry and they see the celebrities, the Joe Rogans, the big name podcasters who have millions of listeners. And they think, well, I want an audience that big. That is a completely different business model. Those shows are owned by this big company that has a podcast network. Those hosts, those celebrities, they are hired. That is their job. They have ads. Like, it is a different business model from an entrepreneur who started their own show as a way to create content for their audience. It's a different business model. So don't compare yourself as a six-figure business coach to some celebrity Instagram influencer, reality TV show star who got into podcasting as a way to make more money. Like, it's different. So just stay focused on your own business and your own, like, how many leads do you actually need to hit your revenue goals? It's probably not a million.
Sure. Probably not. And it might be overwhelming. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's another pitch I get a lot through LinkedIn is like, we can provide 40 qualified the month. Is like, I don't have time for that many.
Exactly. I get those every single day. And unless you have a whole team of sales closers, good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I'm like, well, I really like the clients that come from my content because they already like the way I do things. They already understand the way I do things. And working with counterintuitive models like this, where my counterintuitive piece is instead of top-down marketing where you see the customer as a number to target, which big data has a hypnotic effect on promoting to some extent, but the end user doesn't always like being targeted or having their data harvested for such things or their attention interrupted. Instead, we create, you know, magnetic content and thought leadership positions that are really empowering, that help people get more value out of whatever your category is or whatever your your business model is or your profession is in a unique way that's just designed to be totally empowering. So it's content people want to consume, and they will find it if you make it available to find. But there's some amplification involved sometimes to get, so you don't become just the best known or the best kept secret on the internet with your model. What can you speak to in terms of amplifying audience reach with podcasting on both sides of the table?
Yeah, well, I just want to add, like, I love what you're talking about there, because the trap with those offers of like, I can get 30, 40 booked qualified leads on your calendar. Again, unless you have an incredibly high close rate, you're an incredibly skilled salesperson, like those leads are cold. They don't know who you are. And so that's why I love like thought leadership content, is because when you're putting out podcasts, you know, you're guesting on podcasts, you're creating YouTube videos, you're putting your podcast on YouTube, you're posting on LinkedIn. When you are active and visible across all platforms, you have a much larger footprint online, which makes it easier for people to find you. And the thing that we all have to remember to keep that abundant mindset is that there are so many people out there looking for what you offer. They are actively looking. Like, I have a coach and a mentor who teaches manifestation. And one of the things that I love that she talks about is how just as you are manifesting dream clients, they are manifesting you. Like, there are people out there looking for what you offer. And so our job is to make it easy for them to find it. And how do we do that? Well, we need to be visible across the platforms. We need to be actively posting that have started to follow us and joined our email list, guesting on podcasts so more people can find us. You know, having our own podcast, so it's a place for people to actively get to know us and spend time with us on a regular basis. So just being active, putting out content and answering questions that people are actively looking for the answer to, that's how you can attract those dream clients.
Absolutely. And something I've run into, I actually wrote a post about this recently, and it resonated more than I thought it would, got a lot of attention. Kind of the four quadrants model of in doing thought leadership type stuff of engagement and support. And because I've seen a lot of people try to do thought leadership and they have great ideas, but they try to do it all on their own and they oscillate. They fill their clientele, stop doing content because their clientele's full. And then the clientele eventually, you know, churns and drops off and they start doing it again. So they oscillate up and down, or they burn out because they're trying to do too much. And then on the other hand are those who just write the check and buy support, but they're not really engaged.
Right.
It comes across as inauthentic, and they might be able to buy a certain number of eyes and ears, but they don't really lead people anywhere fresh and new from their own mouth. But it's when the engagement and the support meet, especially in terms of managing time and leveraging time for creators and for founders. And maybe everybody needs to be a creator who's a leader these days in some sense. You've been really successful with your agency, obviously. How do you manage your own time to bring all this about?
Yeah, well, I think that's the perfect next topic for us to discuss here, because it does feel, I think, from the outset, people outside looking in, like, oh, how do these people do it? And the answer is there's a lot of support. You know, the content creators, the thought leaders who have the biggest footprint online aren't doing it on their own. And so for me, number one, I have a business partner. So in 2018, I brought on a co-owner. She was actually the first employee of Interview Connections. And then I offered her 50% equity in the company. And so she came on as an equal co-owner, became the CEO. And so having a business partner and somebody else who's helping me, like we're co-running the company, helps tremendously. We have a great team. So I'm not doing all the service delivery. And that's a hard part for a lot of solopreneurs, is like when you also have to serve the clients, it feels like you're stretched really thin. So find ways, like what can you delegate? What can you get off your plate? What can you streamline and make it a little bit more efficient? Which is again, like why I love podcasts. You can take one podcast interview, turn it into written content, turn it into video, turn it, like you can get so much out of one piece of content. But yeah, how I've grown my agency is having a partner, having a team, and also just giving myself grace. Like sometimes I'm 10 out of 10, like 12 out of 10 visible. I'm cranking out multiple, like I've just got the inspiration. There are some days where I've got my camera open. I've just got ideas. I film, I post, I repurpose. And there are some days where I'm like, I'm in a hermit mode. Like I just don't want to do a video today, and that's fine. But because I do a lot of content, it's okay if there's a day where I don't post anything because there's already a lot out there. And it's also one of those things where once you're in, I think there's a commercial about this for like arthritis or something. Like once you're in motion, a body in motion stays in motion. And I really think that marketing in motion stays in motion. I have taken time where I pull back and I don't do a lot of content. And it is so much harder to get it going again because you're like stuck. You can't come up with ideas. But when you're actively in motion, you're coming up with content every day. You're getting on podcasts, you know, every single month, like it's just so much easier because the wheels are turning, the engine, like the systems are like, it's a well-oiled machine. Sure. Like it's just easier to get stuff out. So like, once you start, don't stop. You can scale back a little bit. Like you can speed up and slow down, but coming to an absolute stop makes it harder to get going again.
Yeah. And I find the designing workflows, and like you mentioned, the podcast being at the top of the workflow is great because it enables you to turn it into various posts, email, newsletter, content, harvest ideas in an ebook. Sometimes like, wow, that was an interesting idea. We can build on that, you know?
Right.
And it makes it more efficient and use AI the right way, not the wrong way, to assist in developing a voice, not to replace a voice. That's just my.
I totally agree with that. I think that AI is a really helpful tool, but you don't, and my good friend, Anna, who's an absolute expert in marketing, never copy and paste from ChatGPT and post it. Like if you're going to leverage it to get ideas, always edit it, always use your own words. Mm-hmm. I like to use, like, so in ChatGPT, I just said, what are some of the most frequently asked questions about podcast guesting? And then I made videos answering those questions. So like, that's a way that I use AI where it's all my own voice, my own content, but it just helped to get, it gave me an idea because sometimes we don't know what the frequently asked questions are of our target audience because we know all the answers. So they're not questions to us.
Right.
And I'm like, oh yeah, like this is a question a lot of people ask. And it felt elementary to me, but it's actually the number one question that my potential clients are thinking about. So let me make a video on that. And it's like, those videos do really well. So yeah.
Awesome. I found it really good to harvest unique ideas from transcribed human conversations.
Oh yeah, totally.
Like, or when I walk my dog and I get ideas and I'm like, let me capture this on my phone. I have this little app called Rev and then transcribe it and then upload it. Or these interviews, I just pop it in ChatGPT to analyze this and come up with an outline of unique ideas that could be built on this. It's great for stuff like that because we're starting with the human.
For sure. I totally agree. I love uploading like a transcript of a full video and saying, what are the most powerful quotes from this video? You know?
Awesome.
So yeah, absolutely. Leverage AI and also like leverage virtual assistants. We have a couple of VAs in the Philippines and they are incredible. Like there's things that, you know, look at what tasks take you a lot of time and mental bandwidth, not because they're hard, but because you have higher revenue generating activities that you could be focusing on, but you're focused on things that you could have a virtual assistant do who's really grateful for the work. So there are ways for even a solopreneur to get a lot done. It just takes a little bit of delegation, takes a little bit of leveraging AI, and just, you know, putting in the reps.
Love it. This has been fascinating, Jessica. We usually wrap up these interviews, as I know you know, since you've listened to a couple, in a couple of ways. And the first is to ask, what would be the top three things that you'd recommend our listener do to further their thought leadership coming from your unique perspective? The second question is, somebody's listening to this and thinking, I really like what Jessica's saying. I might want to connect with her company and get on some podcasts. How would they reach you?
Yeah. So the three things, well, obviously I'm going to say podcast guesting is like the number one thing, but to just break that down, it's a couple actionable steps because a lot of people are like, well, like how do I get started on there? Come up with a few main pillars of your content. Because I think the most important thing with thought leadership is people really understanding like what value are they going to get from you, both as a guest, as a host, as a thought leader. And so what are those three main pillars of content that you can always, people can count on you to talk about? So come up with some main pillars of content. That's number one. Number two, make a podcast one sheet. So a one sheet is a designed one page PDF. This is something we make for our clients, but you could do it in Canva. There's a lot of templates out there. Have a one sheet that has topics that allow hosts to ask you about those three main pillars of your expertise and your bio. And that's going to make it really easy to get booked and then start getting on podcasts. Like whether it's hiring an agency, having someone help you, doing it on your own, go get yourself on podcasts, because when people see that you're actively getting interviewed on podcasts, they will immediately see you as a thought leader because you're out there sharing your thoughts and being a leader.
So. And I don't mean to break your rhythm because you're in YC, but it just said something I've been thinking while we've been talking. What's an ideal frequency or a range of frequency to be on podcasts?
That's a great question. So anywhere from 2 to 4 a month, like 2 to 4 interviews per month, I find is a really nice pace, because I find that any less than that, like one interview a month, like you're rusty every time. It's kind of like that stop and go. Like every time you do an interview, you're like, oh, I'm rusty. I do about an interview every week, 3 to 4 a month. And so I'm in a rhythm. I'm confident. I'm comfortable. I'm not like, oh, I forget how to do this.
right. Makes sense.
So I mean, 2 to 4 interviews a month is good. And then just stick with it, like a minimum a year, but just make this a part of your regular marketing strategy. Like don't ever stop. You can reduce the frequency if you're really overwhelmed and busy, but don't ever turn off that spigot. Like stay visible, stay active.
Love it. And then how would someone reach you and you're thinking, well, I need to talk to Jessica and find out how she can help me and how her company can help me?
Yeah. So our website is interviewconnections.com, and we have 4 people who are interested in podcast guesting. I have a interview prep checklist. So it's a free downloadable that gives you multiple steps just to get prepared for your interviews before, during, and after. So if you're starting to get interviewed and you're like, how do I prepare? How do I make sure I'm making the most of it? We have a checklist. So that's at interviewconnections.com/prep.
Fantastic. And to the listener, if you're listening on an app, I will link directly to these assets in the episode page, which will be linked in the description. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
My pleasure. Enjoyed it.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Thanks again for listening to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, strategic thought leadership coach and consultant, and this has been episode 87, Meta Podcasting with Jessica Rhodes, amplifying your influence by leveraging podcast guesting to build authentic connections and elevate thought leadership, where we discuss topics like from motherhood to marketplace, how Jessica Rhodes pioneered podcast booking, how the podcasting landscape became a networking powerhouse, leveraging podcasting to amplify your brand, the long game of podcast guesting, building authority over time, and creating win-win partnerships between podcast host and guest. And if you're listening on an app, make sure you go to the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com. It is linked to in the episode description, where I've got links to resources like Jessica's website and social media, a curated transcript, and other resources such as the free Marketer's Guide to Strategic Thought Leadership, and a link to get a free preview of my upcoming book titled Strategic Thought Leadership. Thanks again for listening to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm Chris McNeil, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Thought Leadership Studio.